Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Food Friday, we learn how to grow our own ingredients to make tea at home. First, Nomadland, Minari, and Promising Young Woman are a few of the top contenders for this year's Academy Awards. This year's batch of nominees includes films by first-time directors and a mix of new and veteran actors. The Oscars ceremony is this Sunday. We're joined now by one of our favorite film critics to talk about some of his picks. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen some of the films nominated for Oscars this year? Do you have a pick for what should take home the Best Picture award? Were there performances that stuck out to you as Oscar-worthy? Did you see any new movies in this unusual last year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, appears weekly on Vocalo Radio in Chicago. You can follow his work at reggieponder.com. Reggie, welcome back to Central Time.
Always glad to be back. And this is obviously the favorite time of the year. It is the Oscars, Hollywood glimmer and glitz.
And it's a weird year, though, in so many ways, including for the movies. We couldn't go see them at the theaters, for example. Has that changed the kind of movies we're seeing show up on Sunday?
The answer to that is yes, but not necessarily what kinds of movies are being made, because the vast majority of films that we saw in 2020 and that we're going to see in 2021 were already in the works. So it really wasn't about the types of movies being made, but about us being at home and trying to figure out, now we have all this time, what to do with it. So some of us picked up some new hobbies and some of us started to watch programming that we wouldn't have normally watched. And so, you know how I've said before that people complain about the slate of movies that are out, but really this, what it really is our personal cinematic palette that has widened because we had so much time on our hands.
Did this unusual year, maybe seeing our movies on smaller screens, make it possible for smaller movies, however you want to define that, to break through and get the kind of attention you need to get on the Oscar radar?
Yes and no. Yes, in that because there were more movies, I guess, seen, maybe a smaller movie like a Sound of Metal got more attention than it would have. It wouldn't have probably done well, supremely well at the box office. So yes, I think, and even a movie like Judas and the Black Messiah. So I do think that there's some that there were some, but I just really think overall that the palette just widened, even for things that didn't make it to Oscar level.
There's been talk in recent years about a lack of diversity in the Oscars. This year, there are some firsts. The first all-black team of producers nominated for Best Picture. The first black woman nominated for hair and makeup. Just a couple examples. What do you think? Are you encouraged by this? And is this just a momentary blip? Or is this something that's going to change in the long run?
So a couple of things on that is that firstly, there's a record 9 of the 20 acting nominees are people of color. And you kind of mentioned that there's the first a Muslim nominated for Best Actor, which is Riz Ahmed, the first Asian woman and first woman of color to be nominated for Best Director. And then the first time two women have been nominated for directing in the same year. I think all of those things are fantastic and good. But I remember the time when we were talking about diversity back in the day with Spike Lee and John Singleton. And if you kind of remember, Do the Right Thing was more than 30 years ago. And that was supposed to be the time in which they ushered in a new era of black cinema. And today we're still talking about this issue. So I don't really see this as being a trend as much as it just might be the time that it's a point in our time.
It is Oscar Movie Weekend. Reggie Ponder is with us, a.k.a. Reggie the Real Critic. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite movie from last year, nominated or not? Do you have a question for Reggie about the movies that are out there and what you might be interested in watching? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, let's start naming names here. Nomadland, getting talked about a lot. It's in the Best Picture category. Want to listen now to Fern, played by Frances McDormand, talking about life with her late husband before she decided to live on the road. Here's a listen.
He loved his work so much. He loved being there. Everybody loved him. It's so I stayed. Same town, same house. It's like my dad used to say, what's remembered lives. I maybe spent too much of my life just remembering.
So Fern goes on the road in that movie. Reggie, a lot of buzz about Nomadland. What did you think about it?
I really like this movie. I think that it showed a slice of Americana that we probably didn't, we knew it was out there, but probably didn't understand it. And the fact that they chose to use a lot of non-actors to move the story along was fantastic. And I think that McDermott was really good in it. The question will she be able to join that three Oscar club? I think that's going to be tough. I think as it relates to a best director, that's going to be a shoo-in. And best picture, it might do that as well.
Another Best Picture nominee. You mentioned this one, A Sound of Metal. And you let us know, Reggie, at first you weren't too interested in this one, but you're glad you did. Tell us about this one.
So this one, I thought that I probably didn't want to watch this one because it was really about a guy who's in this metal band. And that's not really my kind of music. But what it really was about is he was losing his hearing. And how losing his hearing made him get an appreciation for life in a totally different way. And also for us to get an appreciation for people who are deaf, because he had to go into a deaf camp to learn how to speak, communicate. And he was always fighting to stay in the sound world, if you will, but learned a lot of things about those who live without sound. This is so well done. Riz Ahmed is so good. And the sound, how they play sound in this music, oh my goodness. This if it doesn't win for anything else but sound, it must win in the sound category.
And this a sidebar here, Reggie, as we mentioned, you didn't think you're going to like it. You did. I don't know. I prejudge and pre-filter movies a lot. I judge a book by its cover in the case of movies and screen things out before I give them a chance. Make the case that maybe we should try something out of our comfort zone.
The case for trying something out of our comfort zone is really the case of if you think about food. We mm-hmm. always want to eat the same thing all the time. But when we go out and have something different, a lot of times we're like, wow, that was tasty. And I'm saying that is the same thing with movies. You will come out of a lot of these movies saying, wow, that was tasty. The stories are different, and it also helps us understand people differently. I talked about Sound of Metal, and it really helps you understand the deaf community in a way that you might not have thought about before. The one point that I want to make about that is that a lot of times we think that sound or talking is the way in which people need to be, but the way in which deaf people look at it is that they never had it, so they don't think about it as the being the norm. And that's a different way in which to look at it. And I think that going outside of your normal palate helps you understand people, situations much differently.
You picked a good metaphor there. I'll try eating just about anything once. Well, I want to look at another movie now. Again, probably going to take away at least one or two big awards. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, based on a play by August Wilson. Didn't get Best Picture nomination, but Viola Davis and Chadwick Boseman nominated. Clip of the late Chadwick Boseman's character, member of Ma Rainey's band, talking about his plans. Here is a listen.
I'm going to get me a band and make me some records. I didn't give Mr. Stutterman some of my songs I wrote, and he said he gonna let me record them when I get my band together. I just got to finish the last part of this song. I got style.
Oh, everybody got style. Style ain't nothing but keeping the same idea from beginning to end. Everybody got it.
Everybody can't play like I do.
Well, tell us a little bit about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Reggie.
Yes, the first thing I want to say is that a lot of people don't recognize the one of the greatest playwrights in America who wrote this film. He won two Pulitzer Prizes, so I have to say that at all times. But Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is really about a slice of Americana, and what they do in this film is show about the hopes and dreams of individuals and also the demands of a racial society, what happens in that, who's on top, who's the boss, how do you navigate all of those things. And Ma Rainey, as the main character, really navigates that to the extent she won't give her voice until she gets the things that she really wants to get. And I think that the dynamics that you see between Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis, wow, they're both very, very deserving of the nominations that they received. I do want to say is that Chadwick is the front runner, but Riz Ahmed and Anthony Hopkins were also fantastic in their roles. So you never know, but I do think that Chadwick is pretty close to saying that Chadwick would get that posthumously.
We're talking to film critic Reggie Ponder right now about this year's Oscar nominees with the Academy Awards coming up on Sunday. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you see the movies we've talked about? Nomadland, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Sound of Metal. How about The Father? You mentioned Anthony Hopkins there, Promising Young Woman, Minari. Do you have a favorite among those? Have you been watching new movies as they're available at home now without a theater to go to? Are you looking forward to getting back to a theater? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with film critic Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, about this year's Oscar nominations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you keep up with new movies in this last year without really theaters to go to at any point? Was there one you liked, or do you need a recommendation yourself from Reggie? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring out a caller now. Dwayne is with us in Weston. Dwayne, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What did you see, Dwayne? What'd you like?
Well, we like, you know, Greenland and News of the World with Tom Hanks, and then the End of the World show with, was it Gerard Butler, Greenland? Those were two, you know, enjoyable movies, kind of gripping and, you know, I don't know if they're up for awards or not, but we like them.
And Dwayne, how did you watch? There weren't theaters. Were you up for streaming the new movies when they became available
streaming
at home?
We have the Roku stick, you know, with Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. It's the way to go.
All right. Dwayne, thanks a lot for sharing your favorites of the year. News of the World, I remember that came out. Greenland, I don't remember so much. Reggie, I'm just going to come out here. I didn't see a lot of new movies this last year. I won't lie to you. Either of those, though, on your radar or on the Oscar radar?
None of them are on the Oscar radar, but there was talk about News of the World. So there was a lot of talk that might get some nominations. I think it fell by the wayside. What happened, you know, certain movies start to get that steam and momentum. And one of those films that's getting that momentum we've already talked about was The Sound of Metal. A film that kind of lost steam was Trial of the Chicago 7. It still made it in there, but it did lose some steam.
Thanks a lot for that call, Dwayne. Alert Central Time producers tell me no major category award nominations, as you said, Reggie, but News of the World got nominated for Best Score, Sound Design, and Cinematography, too. That's not too shabby. So thanks a lot, Dwayne, for sharing those with us. Glad you were able to keep up with some movies. Reggie, let's check out a couple others. You mentioned Anthony Hopkins. I mean, it's hard to go too wrong with Anthony Hopkins, plus Olivia Colman, who's in everything these days, in The Father. Tell us about this one.
So this is really about dementia, and it's a really interesting way, dementia or Alzheimer's, a really interesting way to get I would say a front row seat on what happens to someone when they're going through that. And Anthony Hopkins plays that character who is going through that with Coleman trying to help him through what he's experiencing. And it's both of these performances are really good. In fact, Anthony Hopkins won the BAFTA for best actor. And what's interesting about that is that Chadwick Boseman was winning all of the awards. So his acting was that good that they gave it to Anthony Hopkins for the BAFTA.
And let's check out last year. We talked about the South Korean film Parasite, won Best Picture, but none of the cast got acting nominations. Now this year we have another Korean language film, Minari, and it's getting nominated for Best Picture, and this time some of its actors too. What do you like about this one, Reggie?
Let me tell you what I don't like. And what I don't like is that this film, there was a lot of controversy as whether this film was an American film.
But do we lose you there, Reggie?
Foreign language category. And, I'm sorry. Am I here?
You cut out for a second. You said it was whether it was an American film or foreign language category. Go for it.
Right. So many times it went to the foreign language category. And so the problem that I had with that is that this is a American family trying to figure out how they're going to live and survive in America, immigrant American family. But because it wasn't in English, that it becomes a foreign language film, that's actually insulting. And this is a really good story about a family trying to find their place in America. How will they survive? Where will they live? Where can they find a community that will support them? And so on and so forth. And so this was very, very well done. And again, a few of the actors have received nominations. I think Best Supporting Actress they'll win for Best Supporting Actress.
Talking to Reggie Ponder, film critic, aka Reggie the Real Critic, looking at the Oscar awards this Sunday and checking out some of the movies on the list. Now, one that I've heard a lot of people talking about and you are not so hot on is Mank, about screenwriter Herman Mankiewicz and the writing of Citizen Kane. So a Hollywood movie about a Hollywood movie, Reggie.
Yeah, it really feels like Hollywood, loving on Hollywood. It's beautifully shot, but it really did feel misplaced with all the other competition out there. And from a personal perspective, this almost assumes that you agree that Citizen Kane was the best movie ever. And so since I guess I don't, it just didn't appeal to me in so many ways. They didn't make it where the characters connected with the characters in this one, but it looks really, really good, and it will win. It may win some of the more technical awards because I think they did a nice job doing the film. But I really think it's just a Hollywood love fest.
And there's a cliche almost, Reggie, at this point that when it comes to awards awarded by Hollywood, they often like movies about Hollywood. Could that lead this one to get some maybe unexpected awards?
If it does, don't call me anymore. Don't do it. I hope not. But you know, anything is possible. Anything is possible. But when you look at the competition for Mank, the competition just I think is so far ahead. You think of The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Minari, A Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of Chicago 7. I think all of them are better than Mank. I do want to say is that Steve McQueen had a set of 5 movies that were not eligible for some reason, and at least 3 of his 5 movies that he did this year were better, in my opinion, than Mank.
Let's talk about Judas and the Black Messiah. You've mentioned that we haven't dug into it. Tell us about that and what you're watching for on Sunday.
Yeah, so this film is really about, it really is, the title gives it away, is that there's a Judas, a guy who is embedded within the Black Panthers, who is there to spy on Fred Hampton, and Fred Hampton is being played by Daniel Kaluuya, and it is a very, very powerful movie. It is led by 3 African-American producers. So this is the first time that an all African-American producing crew will be nominated for an Oscar. It's a very, very powerful movie. And for since you asked me the question about expanding your palate, mm-hmm. this would be one that I would encourage people to watch, because it's very interesting to see how the government played a role in what happened to Fred Hampton for people who don't know. So, yeah.
All right, Reggie, I want to wrap up. Pretend you're talking to some sort of movie slacker who didn't get out and see much last year. Let's say he has like a normal job, like radio guy. And you had to pick a couple movies and say, Rob, or whatever his name is, Rob, you need to go out and see these two, or sit in your living room and see these two. What's at the top of this Rob's list?
Oh, so that's wrong. So I like all of the movies that are just about all of the movies that I hear. So I think Promising Young Women, we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really, really interesting film. And from a woman's perspective, so I think it's really important for us as we expand our palette to look at women directors and women writers. So I would say that, because we haven't talked about that. I definitely like Sound of Metal, so I do that, and maybe Minari. Okay, that's three. Jeez.
That's okay.
Tough,
I'll take
Rob.
Three. Or he will take three, this random guy talking about. And before I let you go, Reggie, what are you looking forward to? Give us one you're really excited about for 2021.
Oh, so for 2021, I am looking forward to not a Latino explosion, but some Latino films. And we got West Side Story coming and The Heights. So I'm looking for both of those from a diversity perspective. I can't wait to see that, because the Academy Awards did a very poor job with Latino representation in terms of nominations this year.
Reggie, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Rob.
That's Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. You can follow his work at reggieponder.com. He was with us to preview this Sunday's Academy Awards. You can still share your thoughts, something you're hoping will win, something you liked over the last year. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. And you can always tweet us at @CentralTimeWPR. Coming up after the news, it's this week's edition of Food Friday, and we're going to learn to grow and brew different kinds of tea ingredients at home. So from the garden into your mug and all points in between, coming up on Food Friday. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Listening to Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up Monday at 7:30 on The Morning Show, a co-chair of a state committee on police reform and racial inequities joins the show for a look at a long list of proposed changes here in Wisconsin. That's Monday morning at 7:30 here on the Ideas Network. Now let's have a cup of tea for Food Friday, but not just any regular old cup of store-bought tea, tea that we grow at home. Our next guest is going to teach us how to do just that. In time for spring, we're learning how to grow and harvest our own plants to make delicious teas at home. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tea lovers, do you have any special brews that you like to make? Are there things you grow in your own garden or window box or what have you that you turn into a hot beverage? Mint, fennel, but just for making tea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Cassie Liversidge joins us from the UK. She's a gardener, artist, and the author of books including Homegrown Tea, an illustrated guide to planting, harvesting, and blending teas and tisanes. Cassie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hello. Hi, Rob.
Well, there's that word, tisane. What's the difference between tea and tisane, if I'm even saying that right?
Oh, no, Tizan. Well, I don't know. It's, you know, we all have different different ways of saying things, but I don't think there's any definite way. But Tizan is what we call the sort of herbs that we use to make into tea. So strictly speaking, tea should be made with the Camellia sinensis, which is what we kind of know as black tea, green, black or white tea. That's what we should call tea, really. But all of the others are, strictly speaking, tisanes. But course, I like to call them
teas. And we call them herbal teas, sort of colloquial. Yeah. That's probably okay, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's talk about that proper tea, the ones that we use to make black and green tea. Those are really hard to grow in places where you have winter, right?
Oh, no, it's okay, because I've got about 20 plants in. I've got about 20 tea plants in my garden in East London. And we get frost, so it's hardy. It's a hardy plant. Well, there's different ones, but the one that you should grow to if you get frost is the Camellia sinensis, and that's hardy. So you can grow that, and you can make your own tea even if you've got a small space. So I grow it in pots in a very small garden in East London. And they also grow it in Cornwall, and they grow it in Scotland in the UK. So they certainly have frost up there. So yes, your viewers could grow Camellia sinensis. And obviously, when you're making tea from your own plants, you're getting a small quantity. You're not going to be able to produce a huge number, but enough to really sort of taste. I don't know. It feels incredibly rewarding to be able to make your own green tea, for instance, at home. It's really wonderful.
What kind of processing is involved there, Cassie, to turn our tea leaves from our own plant into drinkable tea?
Okay, so from the Camellia sinensis, so what you need to do, you get different growths of the tea at different times of year, but right now the tea is just the first fresh buds are just happening because it's springtime. So you get the first little leaf. And when that comes out, that is a sort of hairy, slightly light coloured. And when you pluck that from the plant, that's the white tea, referred to as white tea. It's most expensive tea because you're talking one little tiny curled up leaf bud. So it's a very small quantity that you can harvest. But if you let it grow a little bit and then you harvest the top two leaves and bud, that's what they use to make into green tea and black tea. So the lovely, fresh, light green growth that you get through in the spring, that's what you need to pluck and harvest that. And then if you want green tea, you need to steam it. So you put it in a steamer. So pluck it, put it in a steamer over some boiling water for a very short while, then run it under cold water to stop that process from happening. And then you can lie it on a tray and you can dry it. And there you go. You've got some green tea. And then you can store it. So you can store it until you know, you want that very, very special cup of tea at a special dinner party or special occasion when we can all get together.
Definitely. We're talking to Cassie Liversidge on this edition of Food Friday. She's the author of many books, including the one we're talking about, Homegrown Tea, an illustrated guide to planting, harvesting, and blending teas and tisanes. Tisanes. Those are the non-tea teas that we drink. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Now, if you've grown proper tea in Wisconsin, I want to hear from you right now. Tell me about it at 800-642-1234. Or if you grow various kinds of herbs in the state or nearby and turn them into delicious hot beverages, tell me about that too. 800-642-1234. Or share your questions for our guest. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Okay, Cassie, tea might be a little bit of a lift in Wisconsin. One plant that's hard not to grow sometimes is mint. That's something that can really get going and take over. Talk about the delicious things we can do with mint from our yards.
Yeah, certainly. So mint was one of the plants that I realized most people have growing somewhere or, you know, have grown it on their windowsill at some point. It's such an easy plant to grow. Not only can you take a cutting from a friend's plant if they've got a very established bush, but you can buy a pot from the supermarket and repot it to make it grow and bush out. And then when you grow it on windowsill or grow it in a pot outside, I wouldn't recommend planting it in your garden because unless you've got a big space, it can take over, as you know. But then you can dig it up and you can take root cuttings as well as stem cuttings from mint. So it's incredibly easy to propagate and to make into new plants as well. So and you can get a huge variety of different types of mint. Pineapple mint, chocolate mint, lemon mint. There's a huge number of different mints and they're all brilliant for making into tea. So all you need to do is to pull off the top sort of, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 leaves of the mint plant. And if you want fresh mint, which I think is the best, all you need to do is put that into a cup, boil a kettle, and pour your water on. Once it's boiled, actually, try not to pour the water on straight away. Just try and be calm and wait a few moments and then pour it on and then let your leaves infuse. And it's so fresh and it's incredibly good for your digestive system as well. So you should really have mint before you eat, but I tend to have it after because it's a lovely, lovely tea to help your digestive system to calm everything down after you've eaten.
And Cassie, I've heard over the years, Cassie, that might be a good general rule for herbal teas. Don't pour full on boiling water over the top. Yeah. It should be a little past boiling or, you know, let it sit a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So just wait literally, you know, a minute or so. That's fine. And also I find a mistake which is made in lots of restaurants or whatever. When they give you tea, they give you a huge amount of the plant in the cup or the teapot. And then, you know, traditionally in a teapot, you've got those leaves sitting there and you pour one cup and it's probably lovely. But then you go back for another lot. And the leaves have been sitting in there for so long, it tastes slightly bitter. It's not as good. So what you need to do is actually take the leaves out of the pot. So you need some sort of, you can get some really good teapots that have a sort of container which you can lift out. So then you can leave your tea sitting in the teapot, but you can remove the leaves from it so that then your second cup is as delicious as your first cup. So don't overbrew your tea.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tree is with us in Madison. Tree, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to ask about?
My question is, I'm allergic to caffeine, so I would like to know what the best natural decaffeinated teas that I could grow.
Hmm. Oh, there's so many. I've got, well, there's 40, over 40 plants in my book. And the only caffeinated one is the Camellia sinensis, the regular tea. So all of the other plants you can grow. And some of them are houseplants and some of them you can grow from seed now, such as coriander, calendula, anise, hyssop, bergamot, any of those. There's lots, fennel. Are you a gardener? Do you like gardening?
I just grow cilantro, basil, things like that, but I would like to grow some tea here in Wisconsin. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think you should just give it a go. Have a look in my book to get some ideas of things that you like, might like the flavor of. If you like sort of a lemon-flavored tea, I think one of my favorite lemony herbs is lemon verbena. I don't know. Do you know lemon verbena at all?
We do have that here in Wisconsin. Yes, I can confirm its existence in the state. And I would say if Tree can grow basil and cilantro, she can grow verbena and probably a lot of the other things in your book. It's not much of a different process, right?
Oh, no, definitely not. It's written for, even though I'm in the UK, I wrote it for all of you in the States as well. It's published in the States. So, yes, it gives hardiness zones listed in the back as well. But, yes, but lemon verbena is... Buy it from a nursery or somewhere. So start off with a small plant, but it grows really quickly once you sort of repot it. And it is tender. You'll probably need to bring it somewhere sort of sheltered for your winters. But it's the most incredibly zesty, lovely, fresh lemon taste for tea. And my children love it. It's a really popular one for children to grow and to make into tea for them. So yes, again, supposed to be very good for digestion and yeah, antibacterial and loads of other properties. But yeah, I would say try lemon verbena, and then there's so many other ones as well. I mean, calendula is an amazingly easy flower to grow. You might, it's kind of a really fun because it's great to put flowers in your tea. And you can use the leaf and the flower in for the tea. So that is incredibly easy to grow from seed, and then it's self-seed. So every other year you'll also get calendula growing without having to even buy a packet of seeds. So it's a really, it's a good value plant to grow.
I hope that helps you get started, Tree. It's Food Friday. We're getting advice on making our own tea, growing our own tea at home. Cassie Liversidge is the author of books, including Homegrown Tea, an illustrated guide to planting, harvesting, and blending teas and tisanes. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have any indoor plants you use to brew up a warm beverage? Now that it's getting warm, what are you planning to grow in the spring that you're going to turn into an herbal tea, maybe of some sort? What's your favorite kind of tea that you wish you could grow yourself but haven't done it yet? And do you have a question for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday conversation with gardener and tea fan Cassie Liversidge. She's giving us advice on how to grow and brew our own teas of all different kinds at home. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest, or to tell us about something you grow with the intention of making into a delicious hot beverage. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Cassie, you mentioned bergamot, and that's the herb, I think, that gives Earl Grey tea its really distinctive flavor. Can you talk about growing bergamot and turning it into tea?
Yeah. Well, bergamot, actually, the Earl Grey tea is flavored with the citrus bergamot. It's actually not from the bergamot plant, but because it tastes similar, it took on the name of bergamot. They decided to use it for Earl Grey. So Earl Grey is not flavored with this plant, but this plant is a really delicious tea. It's Monarda didyma is the Latin name for it, and bergamot is the common name. It's in the mint family, so you will know it grows quite easily, but it grows much taller, and it has beautiful, beautiful flowers, which the bees really love. So it's not only brilliant for wildlife, but also you can use the flowers or the leaves to make into tea. And you just, all you need to do is to pluck the leaves and the flowers. You can break them up to smaller sizes. You can dry them for using later on to store, or you can have it fresh. And again, it's really great to have flowers in a mixture of leaves because it looks beautiful as well. So it's a lovely tea to give as a present. If you want to grow something and give it away as a present, it's a really nice tea to do that with. And it's very good for colds and sore throats. And it's a great plant. I really recommend growing it. It's really attractive. It's great. It's quite large. It's quite big. It gets to about a meter tall. So plant it sort of, if you've got a garden, at sort of the back of a border, something like that. But yes, it definitely likes being planted in the garden. It's not really, it's quite big. So don't, it's not a balcony. It's not a balcony plant, really.
Now, Cassie, you have, as you said, like 40 plants in this book. And I know from your other books, you like to grow other things for food. So I imagine you'd be tending this vast, you know, field, acres and acres. But you mentioned you're doing a lot of stuff in your small London yard. Can you describe to us the logistics here and how you pack a lot of different things into your yard?
I know. It's full of trees and tea. It is about, I'm terrible at estimating size, but it's about, I don't know, 10 meters square, and it's shady. So it's not easy at all. It's really not easy to grow anything, but it's crammed full of plants. But I also run a business called Grow Your Own Playground, and I get schools using gardens in lessons. All my schools have a tea garden. So I grow a lot of plants as well for them. You know, they grow them at school. And so we do a lesson all about tea, and, you know, they get to experience the different smells and tastes of different plants, different herbs for making into tisanes. And so we have a great time. So actually, I probably have quite a big garden if I took into account all of the school gardens.
Well, that makes me think this could be, you mentioned the lemon verbena. The kids seemed like this could be a great family project for people to do at home with their kids, even without a ton of space, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. I think the benefit of growing plants and connecting with growing is so important. And now more than ever, we need to actually just take some time to sort of relax and sort of focus on something else. And gardening has this amazing way. You plant something and you think, oh, nothing's happening. And then your mind wanders somewhere else. And then, you know, a few days or weeks go past, and then you look back and you can't believe what's happened. It's like little miracles happen all the time. So, I mean, that's a really wonderful thing to have in your life. So I encourage people, really encourage them to try and get gardening, even if you've got just a few, a window box, or even just inside. I love the fact that people are really, you know, getting into houseplants now as well. I think it's so important.
Let's go back to our callers now. Justin is with us in Waukesha. Justin, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I remember as a kid growing up in Wisconsin, we would make tea using some pine needles. It made a red tea, and I don't remember what kind of tree it came from, so I was wondering if you might have any ideas.
Oh, like what kind of particular pine tree?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or if there's some pine trees that make better tea than others, or I don't know.
I hadn't heard of pine tea, Cassie. That's a thing?
No, I haven't. I've never made tea from pine tree. No, I really don't know. That's really interesting. So no, I don't know. I would love you to let me know.
All right, we'll have to do some research on that, and you'll need to plant a couple pine trees in the backyard there, Cassie. Well, thanks a lot for sharing that, Justin. That gives us some work to do, and we'll investigate that. And I'm sure there are other pine tea fans out there who could email us ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. Tell us if you know the secrets of making tea with pine tree needles. So it's spring now. Cassie, what kind of things are you looking forward to the most when it comes to growing and making your own herbal teas?
Well, yes, I mean, there's a lot. I love chamomile. I would say in the evening, and it's evening with me now, it's my favorite tea to have in an evening. It's really good way for sort of calming you down from the day and kind of getting you ready for sleeping. So I think chamomile. So growing some chamomile seeds now would be great, because your plants would be big enough in the summer to be able to harvest the flowers and leaves, and you'd be able to then store it for the rest of the year. If you grew one packet of chamomile seeds, hopefully you'd be able to provide yourself with enough chamomile for the rest of the year. So I would recommend chamomile. There's loads of other, I mean, we've just had violets flowering. I don't know. Have you got violets flowering at the moment? Viola.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. They're the low growing little purple. They have little faces.
You can drink those?
With it. Yes. Yes, you can. The flower and the leaf. They're lovely. Obviously, you know the scent and the taste of violet. Those old fashioned sweets that they used to make from them. I don't know if they do that anymore, but yes, you can make a tea from violets. So you can just forage for them, really. lemon balm is incredibly good for you. It's really, the Romans use lemon balm all the time, and that is a plant which could take over your garden. So if you have trouble growing plants I don't know, if you feel like you're not green fingered, I bet you could grow lemon balm, because that's really, really easy to grow. And it will stay with you every year. So
fantastic. We'll leave it there, Cassie. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
That's Cassie Liversidge, gardener, artist, and author of books, including Homegrown Tea, an illustrated guide to planting, harvesting, and blending teas and tisanes. And remember, if you are a pine tea drinker, email us. Tell us about it, ideas@WPR.org. Coming up Monday on Central Time, state lawmakers are getting public input on their biggest job of the year, the state budget. We'll hear from lawmakers from both parties, and you can share your ideas. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time. Yesterday on the show, we talked about great music from the movies, both soundtracks and scores, and you shared lots of your favorites. A few of mine, Naked Lunch, the soundtrack by Howard Shore with saxophonist Ornette Coleman, Blade Runner by Vangelis, Purple Rain by Prince. Is that a soundtrack to a movie, or is the movie a movie to the soundtrack? I don't know. The Baby Driver soundtrack for how they mix in singles to the plot, and A Shot in the Dark by Henry Mancini. I asked around the Central Time team. Dean Kinetter says Bernard Herrmann composed the music for Psycho, but his score for Vertigo is also fantastic and keeps the movie going through long stretches with no dialogue. And you shared some more on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Deborah writes, Dr. Zhivago was the first to leap to my mind, and then Lawrence of Arabia and The English Patient was third. Tony says, soundtrack, The Big Chill. Score, Schindler's List. Whitney picks Moulin Rouge. Linnell says, Chariots of Fire, Gone with the Wind, and Peyton Place. And Meredith has a few for us. Somewhere in Time, Contact. The Lord of the Rings is also good, Meredith says, although the themes start getting repetitive by the time you're in hour 6 of 12 of the extended editions. If you're not just talking movie scores, then I'd throw in You've Got Mail and The Point as well. Well, sorry if it's too repetitive. We'll go out with some Lord of the Rings anyway. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
Live from NPR News, I'm Jack Spear. The Biden administration's first major international gathering, a two-day virtual summit on climate change, has wrapped up. NPR's Nathan Rott reports the U.S. and other countries